little stories about when I remember going out with, as they got older, he and Uncle Dad and Duke, and as the days went along, there weren't too many young kids around there to help them out during the day, so they wanted to go ride the waves. They had to do it themselves, so they get out his Vidal, his little engine, remember he had the motor?
Yeah.
And put that on the canoe, and they put me up in number one, and we'd go putting all the way out to this particular day. We came out off of here, off of Public Baths, and almost out here to Old Man's, and which was, right, it was Castles, actually, because Castles is down that side there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And we were on the edge of Castles, and it was forming, and they had run the engine just enough to get going on the wave and tell me to paddle like crazy, and the two of them would sit back there and steer, help each other steer. we got on some pretty good sized waves, just the three of us on a long, six-man canoe and a big surf boat, and it was a great thrill. Great thrill with the two of them in the back of the boat and canoe and coming in, and it just, I never forgot it. And then, of course, when we moved out here, and as Duke got older, there were a couple, about three or four of us, Henry Iao, and every time Duke wanted to go paddle, he was getting kind of winding down in his life and getting pretty tired and not too well, and he'd like to paddle out around Diamond Head Buoy. So we'd go with him, and he'd get out there, he'd just stay with him so he could do whatever he wanted to do. And he'd paddle all the way out there, and the minute he got close to the buoy, he'd jump off the board, and I wanted to pick my toes up and put them on top of the board. And he'd be slapping the water and, playing around out there like a kid, and get back on the board, and we'd paddle back into shore.
Yeah.
And that made him happy.
I remember, he took up sailing in the later years, and I crewed for him a number of times.
I raced against him.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, I have in my scrapbook here, I have a thing where I won the regatta. I was racing again. This particular day, it was Sargent I was racing against.
What kind of, what were you?
We were racing, they raced in a lot in the S-boats.
Yes, S-boats.
And
right.
We had a little, Dad had a little Mercury that my brothers and I used to sail up here, by the way, and sail it. One day we surfed it in the channel.
Oh, really?
That was before, and he was coming home from work, and he saw us with a 500-pound keel boat coming in on a wave up here at Diamond Head. He nearly had a fit because he figured we'd rip the keel out of the boat. But the Mercury was a overlapping jib, 18-foot little boat with a little doghouse cabin. And Sargent used to like to race in that boat. So Sargent Konomoku. So occasionally, in this particular one, I think I got a clipping in here that says that I won the regatta, and I have fun looking back through this because my mother made it for me, the scrapbook.
Oh, she did?
It's got pictures in it of Pan Am photographer took pictures of me surfing out off of Waikiki for a documentary thing they were doing for some type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And here's a picture of Uncle Dad on a wave with in the old bathing suit.
Oh, yeah. Oh, there's I can see. Uh-huh.
That's Gay Harris with him on the, in the
Gay
back.
In
the back
hand?
Here it says, uh-huh. Off of Queen Surf.
Oh, that's
so many memories. Here it is. Wahine skipper to compete on Sunday. I think the Mercury class, it was Louis Abrams takes the tiller, Dr. Louis Gaspers, Papillo, Howard Cook, John Monty, and Lauren Thurston have filed entries in the race.
Uh-huh.
And that was also in the PCs and whatnot. So,
yeah, I sailed with Ballard. I crewed for Ballard.
That's right. I remember you did.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
I crewed for, I guess, about four
for a
years,
long time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, we used to race against Duke. Duke had the S-boat, or sometimes he'd take Paul Withington's PC.
Or he had Earl Thacker's S-boat.
It's Earl Thacker, that's right, yeah. Yeah. But then he would, one day we were going out the channel, and there was, I can't remember the third crew member from Ballard. Don Rogers and myself. And Duke didn't have a crewman. And so he said, they told me, you go jump in the boat and you crew for Duke. So I'll never forget. And we beat them. We beat them badly. And I got, I was so pleased over that.
Do you remember out here when we were doing some sailing and Cross.
Billy Cross?
Billy, not Billy, but Jackie. Jackie Cross.
Yeah.
What was calling us Corinthians, you know, and we started out with a little sunfish. And Jack, we used to have races out around the buoy out here, and we raced for a case of beer, and Barry Pritchard, and Barry was my crew.
Yeah, all right.
And we'd race against Jackie Cross and a man that came every year from Australia. I forget his name now. He was a guest, and he loved to do this thing. And we had just had a marvelous time racing up there. So this club has brought a lot of, you know, when you think back about the Outrigger, what a fantastic club it's been for all of the types of things it offered, in the water and the paddling and the volleyball, the greatest volleyball players in the world. So it's been a marvelous, marvelous club.
Well, you could claim the distinction of being one of the real outstanding women athletes in the club.
Very nice,
Ward.
Appreciate that.
Surfing activities, volleyball, paddling.
Somewhere I've got all the medals. I've got to look in a box. They're all there.
You really?
Oh, yeah.
I bet you have. I bet you get it. Your name's on a bunch of trophies, too, I'm sure.
Yeah, I think so.
Did your dad do much surfing as a youngster?
He did. He didn't do as much as we did, because in those days he was working for Von Hamm Young Company.
Right.
And
raising a family.
Yeah, he's raising a family. His uncle, Conrad Von Hamm, was a taskmaster.
Uh-huh.
And Dad was working his way up in the company. And he didn't have, when he wasn't working, he was either playing golf or he pretty much writing music.
Yeah, music. Golf was his music.
He loved golf.
He loved golf.
He was still to this day at 97. I take him out and we play 9 holes together.
Really?
Yeah.
He's still playing 9?
He's still playing. His eyes are a problem. He can't see too well, but if you set him up on the shot, he can hit it a pretty long way.
That's remarkable.
And he loves it. Just loves it.
Amazing.
Yeah.
But, I keep thinking about, you know, something reminds me of Dad, different things that have occurred over the years. I know that it's going to have to, this interview's over, the things have come back that we had talked about.
Well, you and I probably should have talked earlier, before we start in on this. Things come to mind. Uncle Dad told me once about how his mother, right down here, three or four properties beyond this property, where we are now, was a great friend of the Queen. And the Queen used to come out and have tea. And he said, "Tea, hell," he said, "they drank Ocoleo." He said, "I know, because I used to put them back in the carriage when they went back down home." So I guess the Queen used to have her moments, and she was very, very close to Flora Center, my grandmother. And came right out here to the end, because this was the park down here, was just the end of the...
That's right, with the old trolley line.
Yeah.
I lived there. When I first came down from Hawaii, I lived on Hibiscus Drive.
That's right, you did.
Yeah.
We used to play football in the park over here and bicycle polo.
Bicycle polo.
Right opposite this club.
I went to ride my... I came down one year from Hilo as a youngster. I was given a bicycle for Christmas. And I was staying with my aunt on Hibiscus Drive. I learned to ride the bicycle. My first excursion, my uncle pushed me on the bicycle. I tried to make the corner. I didn't make the corner. You know those little fir trees? I plowed right into one and gashed myself in the forehead, cried.
Oh, gosh. Happy memories.
Well, what other things could come to mind?
Gosh, at this point, I can't think of anything else
You know, so much. We've had these interviews. I've conducted a number of interviews. And people recall, they could tell you events that have happened, historical events. What happened this year, that year, and so on. But it's no color. I think this is a color interview. In other words, we talked about the things you did, the people you knew. This is great.
Well, there were some pretty colorful people around that worked for the outrigger. If you remember those days of Dell.
Dell.
Dell, and one night we got up in the bar there at the underneath the pow tree, and Clarence Philpotts, we'd all been having a party, and Dell used to go into the little closet next to the bar. Remember that?
Yeah.
None of us could figure out what he was doing in there. So I think it turned out he was going in there to have a little nip. So Clarence Philpotts locked him in. We left him in there for about, we forgot about him. And about an hour later, somebody said, "My gosh, you've got to let Dell out of the closet." We let him out, and he was absolutely smashed.
He couldn't get out, might as well make the best of it.
Anzai almost collapsed. And then there was the time they put somebody up in the canoe over the bar.
Oh, yeah, that was, what's her name?
Who was that now? I don't remember who that was. Some big guy in there.
Pat Wyman, yeah.
And I think he was asked to vacate the club for about a month after that one.
A number of generation were asked on occasion. They suspended, but they came back and they lended a lot of color to the club.
Well, there were lots of celebrities that came and went. And Chick used to bring over from the Royal.
Mm-hmm.
Sit in the Howe Terrace at the end of the day, and one of the great things about being around there was you got to meet them all.
Yeah. Can you remember any of those that you met?
Oh, I remember, let's see, oh, Panama, of course. Panama was one of the characters of all time.
Oh, yeah.
There was Dick Powell. He came in there one day and did some partying with us all. What's his name? Guy that was David Niven.
Mm-hmm.
He and his sons were here. John Wayne used to love to come to the Outrigger. In fact, he used to do a little bit of sucking him up, as everybody said, at the Outrigger. He loved it. I don't know how he got in. Somebody brought him in as a guest. I think maybe Tony Guerrero brought him in,
yeah.
Somebody like that. And well, I'm sure if I think back long enough, come up with a whole batch of names. There was a story about Panama when they met the boats offshore. Remember that story where he went out and portrayed himself as the king of something or other coming in? And
oh, yes.
You remember that?
Yeah.
I do
recall that.
The press took pictures of him, and somebody determined later on that he was Panama off the beach.
Oh, that book that was just written on the
Beach Boys.
On the Beach Boys.
Yes.
I think it was something.
I think that story was in there.
The story was in that. Yeah.
Oh, there was never ending funny things that happened.
It's been a great institution.
And you could go so easily. Remember from the Royal, right along there into the Outrigger, and then down to the Moana. Remember the great things we used to do as surfing on Saturday. We go to the Hawaii Calls program.
Yeah, yeah.
Come in from surf just in time to go sit over there and listen to all the greatest music that came off of Waikiki.
You know, I have some fond recollections of New Year's Day.
And Christmas Day.
Christmas Day.
Christmas Day was Uncle Dad's birthday.
Oh, that was it. That's right. That was his birthday.
They
used to gather in front of the... Oh, tell me about that.
Yeah, they used to gather right next to the... in between the Moana...
The Howe Tree there.
And the Howe Tree. And it was his birthday, and it was John Dee's birthday.
Uh-huh.
John Dee Kaupeka. And so all the Beach Boys would start in early, early in the morning and party, get going and get cranked up and go all day. And a marvelous time. Every Christmas day, they started out on there.
Well,
let's see, what were some of the other great stories? Funny, you start to talk about these things, and right at the moment you don't think about them. Later on, you probably do.
Yeah, this always happens. I'm just trying to stop for a minute. Well, in addition to you, your brothers were quite active in the club. And I know Bob was president shortly after I was president, not too many years after I was president. Leif, Alan, I think Leith was on the board. I'm not too sure.
Leith, I think, was on. Alan was, he was away with quite a bit of, through those years, working with Standard Oil.
Yeah.
Various places. And so I think he he gave up his membership and for a while there and then rejoined later.
Mm-hmm.
Leith was a very good surfer.
Yeah.
And in fact, he and Georgie Downing used to love to go right at canoes. Remember what a hairy thing that was, yep, in those days on the heavier boards, because you didn't have the maneuverability. So you had to set it and forget it. And
in your experience with boards, what did you start off with?
With a balsa redwood.
Balsa redwood.
Uncle Dad was manager of Davies Sporting Goods.
Mm-hmm.
And so Mother and Dad gave me my first surfboard. We had my name on it, and he was instrumental in getting it. From those boards in those days were, had the outsides were redwood, and the insides were balsa.
Yeah. I had
called a swastika. Back, I don't know where they got that from. But, and mine was about, 12 feet long.
Ooh, yeah, big.
Pretty heavy. They got me a big one to begin with. They didn't waste too much time on the smaller one. So it was a long time before I could weigh it down. I don't have a problem now, but weigh it down in order to keep from pearl diving, as we called it.
Yeah.
And but then when you went either right, I was a goofy footer.
Oh, really?
Right foot forward. And I don't know how that came about, but I'm the only one in the family that is. Everybody else was left foot. But you could always tell Leith going right with and George Downing, because they were skinny, and you become a goofy footer when you're going right at and because the left foot, you're facing into the wave, sort of. And you could tell people that did that. There weren't too many of them that would come flying in from way out off first break, try to make blowhole and go all the way into Queens. That was considered quite a ride.
That was big, yeah, yeah.
I remember you and I used to do that.
Yeah. And then another accomplishment was to go to Castles and right across Kunas, and
come all the way in.
Into Queens, yeah.
Another little stunt we all used to do, and I was doing quite a bit of it, till I was taught a very sad lesson, and that was going behind the surfing canoes. Remember that? You'd come through, and as the canoe ran down to the bottom of the wave, just before it was feathering, you'd make a shot right behind the steersman, and you'd pause ever so slightly between the ama and the main part of the canoe, and then go all the way around the outrigger and make it, hopefully.
Yeah.
Well, I've been doing that a lot one day, and towards the end of the day, I went out to get the last rides when the sun was setting and the wind dropped, and Kalakaua and Steamboat came out, and they each got on either side of me. And we caught the same wave, and of course, I love riding waves with them, or just like being in heaven. And as I went to make my turn left, one of them came right on me and the other one came left and chopped me in the ankles. I went flying, the board went flying, and by the time I swam in and got the board and got in on the beach and totally in tears, because my feet almost unable to be walked on, I crawled up on the beach, and a little later on, one of them called me over and said, "You know why that happened?" No, I didn't. "Well," I said, "you've been going behind us on that board, and you're making it, but one day you're going to miss it. And when you miss it, that board comes down, and it's going to come right down on somebody's neck. And you could kill somebody or very badly hurt them." And so that made the point pretty...
It drove it home in a very hard way.
It drove it right home. And it took me about a week before I was at it again. Kids, you can't stop them. But I was more careful. But then I was going to say that my mom just absolutely adored this club. Her happiest times of her life in the last few years of her life were coming down here to dinner at the Outrigger.
Mm-hmm.
We finally would bring her in, even bring her up the elevator in her wheelchair. And she'd sparkle and her eyes light up and just adored it. This club has been fantastic. Life is what it is.
Their parents were certainly wonderful to me over the years. I enjoyed having them at our birthday party.
We were lucky, weren't we, Warren?
That was, yeah, we really
were. Pretty lucky kids.
We were lucky.
The best of the 50s and the 60s, 40s.
Those are great years, though.
Great years. I think people for decades will keep, referring and returning to those years, because those were the softness of Hawaii.
Yeah.
Hawaii hadn't become the big business mecca that it is now.
And there were just enough tourists to make it interesting and fun.
Yeah.
And you were...
The pace was slow.
Yeah, the pace was slow. You fraternized with them. You went to Waikiki's to see them and enjoy them. Now there's so many of them that you stay away from Waikiki.
That's right. That's right.
Well, Pam, I think we've
covered
the waterfront.
I think we've done it.
And yeah, if there's anything more that comes to your mind that you'd like to have recorded for posterity, just let me know. We can always have a rerun.
Great. Yes. I hope to bring back, as I say, some sort of memorabilia from the International Swimming Hall.
I'd be interested in when I'm sure it's Gene that's been working on Dad.
Okay.
Because it came up at one of the meetings, because there was some question about when he had joined the club. I think they consult with you on that.
Yeah, they showed him, I think, here as a member back in, he rode for the Myrtle Boat Club in 1905, and in 1908 he joined the Outrigger Canoe Club, where he was immediately appointed as their athletic coach.
Mm-hmm.
Then he was declared club captain, a position which he held for 2 decades, and that's when he turned out the swimming greats like Buster Crabb and Marican and Helen Moses.
Yeah.
And then he also went to the which was pointed out to me by Marican. In 1927, he again served as coach of the All-American Swimming Team of Japan.
Yep.
And
he coached me in 31, 32, 33. My last year, he had 31, 32, then Dope Yap was my coach and senior there.
I was sitting next to somebody at luncheon the other day, Ruthie Judd, I think it was, and she told me that he'd coached her at some point in time. So, a lot of people, and he loved to help young people, and
he sure did.
He had a great knack for doing it, and pointing people if he saw them going in the wrong direction. He recognized it, and he tried to act as a buffer or a
senior counselor.
Yeah, or a senior counselor.
He had a great sense of humor.
Great, marvelous sense of humor.
Yeah. Oh, my.
Miss him a great deal.
Yeah. Well, again, many, many things.
Thank you, Ward. I hope that this will help to be some sort of a memorabilia for people in the future.
It will. It's a type of interview that I've enjoyed very much. Some of the people I've talked to, like pulling teeth to get anything out of them. Really, they answer, you ask them a question, get a short answer, and then you sit there and look at each other.
Well, those are the happiest days of my life. And often I think about them, and when I'm driving along and looking down the coastline or having dinner here,
mm-hmm.
looking back down there at Waikiki, and thinking, I was out with Tommy and Marion Arnott following the last Molokai race in Tommy's boat, and we anchored off of Waikiki, and we talked at great length about all the times and all the lot of things we're talking about today.
Yeah. It's a day, Leith and Gino and Molokai.
Live on Molokai.
But I see them in town occasionally. I see them here. How frequently do they come to town?
They come to town to see the grandchildren and their children, maybe once or twice a month. He has an airplane that he flies down.
Oh, he does?
Uh-huh. And a single-engine plane.
Mm-hmm.
And he also lives very close to John Weiser, who has Station Kumu, I think it is. And John has a twin-engine plane and is just above Gene and Leaf and on the west end of Molokai, and he has his own airstrip.
Oh, he does?
Airstrip and hangar. And
oh, terrific.
He lives there, and he goes back and forth every day and every night, every morning and every night. So they occasionally will fly down with him. Mm-hmm. So they're lucky they have a means of getting here. And
they must enjoy it over there.
They love it. On the beach, you should stop in and see them.
Yeah, they've asked me to a number of times.
I know several of the gang around here, they call them the boat people.
The boat people.
Jimmy McMahon and crew, they go over and swim ashore and spend the night with them.
I think we have just about
time. We better wind this up, I think.
Many thanks.
Thank you, Ward, very much. Aloha.
Aloha.